So we started this little series. I guess it's only going to be two parts now. Just a closer walk. Just a closer walk. And we're talking about having a close walk with the Lord. And then we started talking about, I think our message last week was called Walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. And so next, our principal scripture for the entire series, Galatians 5, 16 through 18. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Somebody say amen. So, today, I want to talk to you about how walking in the Spirit overcomes fear. Walking in the Spirit to overcome fear. Now, this is important because right now, we are in a time of mass hysteria. That doesn't mean that the situation isn't real. Okay, let me just be clear here. I'm not one of these conspiracy theorists that think, you know, there ain't no real coronavirus. No, that ain't where I'm at. But I'm watching the response. Somebody asked me, Brother Ron, they said, you don't seem worried about this at all. I said, well, I'm 55 years old. They said, what does that mean? I said, well, I've lived through SARS, bird flu, swine flu, Ebola twice, and then there was another one that I forgot about. I said, Zika, that's the one. I said, so I've kind of figured out. I said, here's the interesting thing. I lived through all of those. Just being honest with y'all, I lived through every one of those. I don't know anybody personally who ever got one of them. Nobody. So I'm not going to let y'all work me into a hysteria over something that probably ain't going to affect me. Now, I'm going to try to prove to you that, don't get me wrong, you still have to use wisdom. But when you walk in the Spirit, these things can't even come near you. They can't touch you. And so it's really blowing my mind. I'm not being blown away by the world's response. The world is supposed to panic. That's what they do. But I'm totally blown away by the church's response. I'm like, okay, the Holy Spirit must be on vacation this week or something. Because these folks done gone crazy. Let me tell you a couple of stories. The first one was told to me, and I really think it was told as a joke, but I'm going to tell it. The second one I experienced myself. Okay, first story, somebody called me. It was a meme. They sent me a meme. And the meme said, it's because the person who told me this, they have a real southern draw, so I'm going to do their southern draw. They said, I was out trying to get some work done, and I decided that I would stop by Walmart because I had to pick a few things up. But, you know, I'm always in a hurry. So I get to Walmart, and I'm there waiting to pick my things up, and the line is just so long. It's taking them so, so long. And I couldn't understand why this line was so long and why it was taking so long. But then all of a sudden, I just start coughing. And they said, I coughed. And then they said, I don't understand. I didn't have this cough before I went to China. I said, what do you know? No more line. Now, the second story is something that actually happened to me. This actually happened to me. I decided I was going to have lunch because I hadn't seen my brother in 2 weeks. And so I called my brother Patrick, and I said, man, let's go somewhere and have lunch. He said, okay. So we're trying to decide where to go to lunch. And, you know, so he said, I think we ought to go to Chicken Salad Chicks. I said, cool. So we go to Chicken Salad Chicks right here in Noonan, right? And we go to Chicken Salad Chicks, and we get our food, and we get a booth, and we're sitting here. And directly across from us is this couple, and they're sitting in their booth, and we're just sitting here. We're talking. We're having a good time. I'm sorry. This is so funny to me. So Patrick is talking while he's eating, and he takes a bite of food and starts to choke. The choke induces coughing. My brother started coughing. So, I'm sorry, y'all. So I said to him, I said, man, you better get it together. These folks think you got coronavirus. He said, I'm trying. He drank some of his drink. Well, the couple across from us, the guy had his, he was like across in front of us. He had his back to us. I saw him getting his stuff together, right? So he gets up and goes and dumps his tray, right? He goes and dumps his tray, and his wife is still sitting there. So when she got up to leave, I said, excuse me. See, I said, did my friend choking incite some type of anxiety for your husband? She said, yeah, he's a little hysterical right now. This is where we're at. This is where we're at. And then of course there's this guy. Put him up there. That's his solution. That's his solution to the whole thing. I'm just gonna drink this Lysol. So what is the right response for people of faith? What is the right response for people who have truly learned to trust God as their everything? If you haven't learned to trust God as your everything, then your response is going to be different than those of us who have. So we're talking to you about walking in the Spirit to overcome fear. Our scripture for today's message. This is 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of, the translation here says timidity, but it is fear, but of power, love, a sound mind. One translation says self-discipline. It takes a lot of self-discipline not to panic when everybody else is panicking. It takes a lot of self-discipline not to get caught in the hysteria of the moment. It takes a lot of self-discipline to know that I'm going to be just fine. We went, my wife and I, she decided she wanted some salmon. And so she said to me, she said, do you mind taking me over to Costco so we can pick up some salmon? I said, okay, cool. So we go to Costco. Y'all hear what I said? Costco. Does everybody know what Costco is? Costco is a warehouse. We go to Costco. We walking through Costco. I said, babe, I know we just here to get this salmon, but I need a good laugh. I said, can I just go look at something just because I want to see what it looked like? She said, sure. So we walked back to where they had the toilet paper. Not a roll of toilet paper in Costco. Not one. Not one. Folks was taking paper towels. and they were running out of water. Panic mode. Full panic mode. So much so that people are being rude to one another. Why? Because if I don't get what I need, me and my family are not going to be able to survive. Then somebody, some crazy person decided to put a recording on Facebook that said they had heard from a person who works in the government, a high-ranking person who works in the government, my family member works for this and this and this, and they told me, get ready, because they're getting ready to quarantine the whole country for 30 days. You ain't going to be able to go outside, go to work, nowhere for 30 days. Mass hysteria. Let me say again. It does not mean, what I'm talking about, I am not downplaying that there is a real problem. But let's contextualize the problem a little bit. Can I help you contextualize the problem just a little bit? In 2008 or 2009, H1N1, they called it the swine flu, H1N1 happened. It first showed up in like March or April. The administration in the White House at the time did absolutely nothing. By the time they actually started doing something, over 1,000 people had died. 269,000 people got infected. 12,500 people died as a result of H1N1. These are facts. Go check it out. Google it. Okay? There are 330 million people in the United States. 330 million people. You understand how big that number is? 330 million people. So far, we have had 1,500 cases of coronavirus. 1,500. We've had, I think the last count was 41 deaths. The people that have died are people who have had compromised immune systems. Nobody with a healthy immune system. Matter of fact, somebody said, I was watching when they were asking the guy who's helped leading the task force on this whole coronavirus thing. They said, what about children? What if children get it? He said, they'll be fine. He said, trust me, anybody between 3 and 25, 30 years old, he said, if they don't have a compromised immune system, he said, they have no, there's no threat to them at all. They're going to get a fever. Just give them plenty of liquids. He said, they'll break the fever. They'll be fine. So why the mass hysteria? Now, I'm going to show you, because what I saw yesterday, I don't usually go out on Saturday, by the way. I usually stay in. I spend the first half of the day with my wife. We just stay in the house talking, chilling. And then I usually start working on what I'm going to do today, you know, after a certain hour. But yesterday, she got me out of the house for a little while because, you know, she gets to whatever she wants to do. It's her time. She can tell me whatever she wants me to do. We just go hang out. And so she got me out of the house. And here's what I... After watching all week, they canceled school, they canceled the government, they canceled work. Churches start canceling service on Tuesday. Okay, all this stuff been canceled. I came out here yesterday, there were so many folks milling around. I said, don't y'all know y'all not supposed to be within 6 feet of another person? I was in the store, I told the dude next to me, I said, you too close, man. Get on, move over. I'm just trying to stand in line. You need to give me 6 feet. The government says 6 feet. What I'm trying to get you to see is, a pastor friend of mine told me, we talked last night. He said, man, I went to two different restaurants. He said, the restaurants were so packed, I couldn't get a seat. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to the stuff we want to do, we get over our fear. When it comes to the stuff that we're supposed to do, well, you know, this coronavirus. I'm trying to help you. I am not saying it's not real, that coronavirus is not real. Okay? I told them on Tuesday, those of you who don't listen to Tuesday night Bible study, I told them on Tuesday night Bible study, I said, I'm going to say it again. I said, let me tell you something. If you are one of the people that needed the government to tell you to wash your hands, you are the problem. If you're older than 10 years old and you don't know the importance of washing your hands, you deserve to get sick. What kind of foolishness is this? Where grown folks don't know I need to wash my hands. These are just observations. I'm just telling you. Because God, the scripture said, God has not what? Given you. So in order for us to operate in fear, we have to go find the spirit of fear. We have to allow somebody to assign a fear devil to us. Here, I got a fear devil for you. You want to take it? Put it in your pocket. Just take it with you. I know you don't need it right now, but you might need it later. God gave us power. I'm wondering why there's so many Christians who don't walk in power. I'm wondering why there's so many Christians who don't walk in power. You say you believe in God, and the scripture clearly says that God has given you power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall receive power. So now, we sang a song. I love the song we sang. It said, as it is in heaven, it is in me. So now let me ask y'all this. Anybody getting coronavirus in heaven? Heaven is totally immune to a coronavirus. See, people hear me talk like this. Oh, he one of them super spiritual people. No, I'm one of them people who understand the authority I have in the earth. I understand that nothing can come nigh me unless it gets permission from God. And if it does touch me, it can't kill me. Y'all know how many times the devil tried to kill me? If I had a nickel for every time he tried to kill me, all right, I'm trying to help you. Point number one, you can't walk in the spirit and walk in fear. You cannot. It is absolutely impossible to walk in the spirit and walk in fear. If you're walking in fear, it is all the evidence I need that you're not walking in the spirit. Because the Holy Spirit who lives within you knows nothing about fear. Listen. Now, you got to understand. You got to understand that. Okay, so Jesus comes to the earth, lives 33 and a half years as a human being, right? And 33 and a half years as a human being, the Bible says he was tempted in all points, just like we are. That's what the scripture says. There's no temptation that he didn't experience, okay? And then the Bible says that they beat him all night long. And tell me when I'm getting the story right. If I'm getting it right, let me know. But it says they beat him all night long. Isn't that what they did? And as if beating him all night long wasn't enough, the Bible says that they made a crown of thorns. Now, these wasn't them little thorns like you get in your rose bush. They were long, long. And they made a crown of thorns, pressed it down into his head, okay? They beat him until his skin hung off his back like ribbons. And then they had the nerve to hand him this big heavy cross. How strong must this man have been? Because after they beat him all night, after they put this crown on his head, they tell him, now you're going to carry your death, the thing that we're going to kill you on, we're going to make you carry that up a hill. Y'all hearing me? He finally dies. The Bible says he dies. He gives up the ghost. But the Bible tells us that he went into hell and took captivity captive. That's what the Bible says. That while they say he was in the grave for 3 days, he actually went on a missions trip to hell. He went on a missions trip to hell, and the Bible says he took captivity captive. The Bible says that after that third day, the Bible says he stepped out of the grave with some swag now. And he said, all power in heaven and earth is mine now. No, let me ask you this. If this is the God who resides in you, how is he going to be scared of coronavirus? I'm a logical thinker. This makes no sense to me. Again, we're not talking about being irresponsible. We're not talking about being stupid. You understand where I'm coming from? We're talking about understanding who really lives within me. I ain't got time to be worrying about my wife said this stuff is going nuts. I said, yeah. And we sit up and watch TV and crack up some of the stuff. Because see, listen. I know the administration is doing everything they can to bring about calm. They're trying everything they can to keep people calm. The media doesn't have that same agenda. I'm telling y'all. The media going crazy, okay? But the administration is doing everything they can. But I told my wife, I said, but even some of their instructions is crazy. She said, what do you mean? I said, they told us that you shouldn't be in a crowd of larger than 250 people. And then they said, and you need to be at least 6 feet away from the nearest person. I said, do you know how big of a place we need for 250 people to get together and they all got to stay 6 feet away from each other? Scripture. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, Paul here is talking about the law as it concerned the law of Moses. Okay? But I want to tell you about another law that you also are not under. You are not under the law of fear. There is a law that is being released in the earth right now. It's called fear. You, coronavirus. Ooh, the coronavirus. And it's coronavirus isn't the only one. It's like a lot of them start with C, cancer. Cancer. Oh. Whew. See, I got a C that's bigger than that C, Christ. And so I'm not under the law. And I'm not going to let you put me under the law. I'm not going to let you make me scared because you're talking about every day. Breaking news. It ain't breaking news no more. Y'all been talking about it for 2 weeks, for 3 weeks. It ain't breaking news no more. It's just gossip now. Next. When we walk in the Spirit, our fears are transferred to Jesus. When we walk in the Spirit, all of our fears are transferred to Jesus. We don't understand. The reason I don't have to walk in fear is because I've got this guy who walks. We sing songs. And he walks with me and he talks with me. And we say, but we don't really believe he walks with us. Because, see, I got this cat who walks with me. I told y'all, maybe it's my own God complex. Maybe it's my own arrogance. But I really believe when I walk in the room, the answer walked in. I don't care who else is in there. Because I know who came in with me. And he knows all things. And so if he knows all things, the answer just came in with me. Are you hearing me? By the same token, I know he doesn't get sick. Y'all don't hear me. There was a missionary, and he was going to remote parts of the world. And a plague broke out. And so they asked him, they said, are you still going? He said, oh, yeah, I'm going. They said, you're not concerned? He said, not at all. And so they thought he was going to die. He went into this remote part of there where the plague was. And he went and he prayed for people. He preached to people. People gave their life to Jesus. As they accepted Jesus, they got healed. He just went about doing his thing. He came back and somebody asked him, they said, how are you able to do that? How are you able to go in and be amongst those people that are dying from plague? And you weren't even concerned. He said, I would tell myself every day, there's too much Holy Ghost in here for sickness to get in. See, we don't know how to make the right confessions. And so when you don't know how to make the right confessions, you end up listening to stuff that you shouldn't be listening to. And before you know it, you're agreeing with the enemy. Watch this, scripture. This is 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7. It says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety or fears on him because he cares for you. Put all of your anxiety and fear over there on him because he cares for you. This is why most of the time when people say stuff to me, they think I'm being smart. They say, what do you think about this? I say, I don't care. See, they don't understand what I'm saying. I don't care. He cares. Care is his issue. I don't care. That doesn't affect me. You mean to tell me you're not concerned about this at all? No. Listen, y'all. Listen, we went to the airport. So when all this started, I had to go to Washington, D.C., right? I get to the airport. Folks walking around. You would have thought we were in full quarantine. Folks walk around, mask on, goggles. I'm like, really? Really, dude? Really? So, you know, I get on the plane, and I'm just chilling, you know, and I'm watching people. They in full panic mode. They in there spraying stuff down. I'm like, okay. I said, let them do what they do. I couldn't think it'd get no worse. We get on another plane to go to Orlando. By the time we got to Orlando, I thought I was in like a third world country or something. These folks was walking around almost mummified. What's wrong with y'all? Listen, just live. Just live. I got too much to do to worry about this kind of stuff. Are you hearing me? All right. Jesus gives us peace that overcomes fear. See, this is the problem. We don't have the peace that Jesus gives all the time. And we allow things that have no reason or no right to affect our peace. We allow that stuff to create anxiety and fear for us. We allow stuff that shouldn't even be on our agenda to fill up our agenda. We allow stuff that we shouldn't even be concerned about to become a concern. Jesus said this. He said, take no thought for tomorrow. For sufficient for today is its own trouble. In other words, you got enough trouble today. Just worry about today. He said, you're going to kill yourself worrying about tomorrow. Take no thought for tomorrow. You got enough trouble today. Look at the scripture. John 14:27, he says, peace I leave with you. My peace, listen to this, he's specific now. He starts off by saying, peace I leave with you. Then he gets specific. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. How does the world give? The world gives and takes back. The world gives with conditions. The world gives with contracts. He said, I'm not giving this to you the way the world gives. He says, watch this. He said, do not let your heart be what? Do not let your heart be, nor let it be. So if I have the peace of God, there should be nothing that you can do that's going to cause me to be troubled or fearful. But here's what I'm trying to get you to see. We've got a lot of people, I love Jesus. I love God. You love God? That's how they say it here in the South. That's how they say it in the South. I love God. You love God? That's how they say it in the South. You gotta know how to say it in the South. I love God. You love God? Every time somebody tells me, I love the Lord, I said, Jesus said the only way you can prove you love him is if you do what he says. That's the only way you can prove you really love him. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. I love God. You sure? Because he said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So I just don't understand, Babby, that how we can say, you know, on one hand, that I love the Lord, how we can sing songs and write sermons and proclaim stuff. But then when it comes time for the stuff that we proclaim to be tested, we get in full panic mode. And this is why the church has no power, because we are totally inconsistent. We are totally incongruent. Our words do not match our actions. But if you're going to say you're a person that really loves Jesus, if you're going to say that I am a Christian, I am a believer in Jesus Christ, then you also are saying that the peace of the Lord abides in me and nothing is going to cause me to worry. I gotta see, I'm going to show you. I'm just going to show you how you respond differently when you have the peace of the Lord. You know how you get those unscheduled bills? They just show up. You're like, when did this happen? How did this happen? How, you know, car breakdown, you know, need the engine done, you know, blah, 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 blah. So the stuff showed up. I needed some money. And I said to the Lord, I said, I need some money. He said, yeah, I know. That's how he talks to me. I said, hey, bro, I need some money. Yeah, I know. I said, okay, what you going to do? He said, what you going to do? I said, okay, you since we playing like that, I'm going to give some money away. See, I've got the kind of peace that says he's my source. And sometimes he needs to see me just going about life. See, y'all don't understand how important it is to just go about life. Sometimes God just needs to see me not allowing what's around me to affect me. Let me explain something to you. Faith, walking in the Spirit is a faith walk. Can everybody agree with me on that? It's a faith walk. So now, how do you get faith? The Bible tells you specifically how to get to faith. How do you get faith? Anybody know? Scripture. It's a scripture. It's very clear. That's what faith is. That's what faith is. How do you get faith? All right. Faith comes by and hearing. So the only thing you're going to hear that produces faith is, so if you're listening to stuff that's not congruent with the word of God, you can't be surprised when you don't have faith. And so you've got to get to the place that you understand that God is always, he's always watching and working. That's why I say, even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working. Man, I fell in love with that. I was like, they need to make that the end of the song too. That shouldn't just be a part. Like it was like this long. I was like, we got to stretch that out. That's too important right there. Because here's what I've learned. Gary, say something that's, for those of y'all that have been listening to some of these world-renowned faith teachers, Gary, say something that's going to challenge what you know about faith. Faith does not mean that there's not a presence of doubt. That's not what faith means. That's not what faith means. That's not what faith is. Faith doesn't even mean that you're not a little bit anxious about it. That's not how faith works. Every time I've done something by faith, I get this real sick feeling in the pit of my stomach. What if this doesn't work? I know God said this, but what am I supposed to do? Here's how I know I'm in walking in faith. Because I keep doing what God says do. That's the only way you silence doubt and you get over anxiety. You got to keep doing. That's why I said just keep living. Just keep doing life. You got to keep doing what God said do. I know y'all are Bible students, so you got to show me some scripture for that preacher, because that didn't line up with anything that I've heard about faith. I ain't never heard nobody say that faith and doubt, that just don't make no sense. Go to Genesis, and when you go to Genesis, I think it's Genesis, I want to say 30, no, not that far. Probably 18, somewhere around in there. But it starts out like this. It says, now Abraham was resting under the oaks at Mamre. And there appeared unto him, resting there, three men. And Abraham gets a visitation from the Lord. And the Bible says Abraham gives all the best that he had to the Lord. And then the Lord says, I'm going to come back in a year. And when I come back in a year, you're going to have a son. His wife, Sarah, 18, okay, Genesis 18. So his wife, Sarah, is in the tent, and she overhears this conversation. Now, first of all, wasn't nobody talking to you? But you eavesdropping. And so the Bible says she laughed within herself and said, how is this possible when I'm old and beyond childbearing years? Are y'all hearing me? But when I get to Hebrews 11, it's called the Hall of Faith. I get to Hebrews 11, and in Hebrews 11, here's how it records that story. It said, by faith, Sarah, when she was old, bore a child, doubting nothing. I said, what in the world did he just say? Doubting nothing. So I go back to Genesis 18. She scoffed. That's when God told me. He said, the reason they say doubting nothing is because she continued to operate in faith. I said, how did she continue to operate in faith? That don't make no sense. She still scoffed. That's doubt. So she still scoffed. So how is it she still operated in faith? He said, because she kept doing what it took to have the baby. That's what faith is. Faith without works is dead, being alone by itself. So faith is when I continue to do what I know to do while I wait on God to do his part. And a lot of times, as I'm doing that, I have to overcome what's attacking my mind, telling me this isn't going to work. Are you hearing me? Where we at? Philippians 4, 6 and 7, it says, be anxious for nothing. So let me give you all the Everett Spencer translation of this. Don't you ever be anxious. But in everything, by prayer and with, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, watch this, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. So now, the peace is not just here to let me rest. No, the peace is my guard. It's my shield. It's protecting my mind and my heart so that this stuff can't get in and begin to, before you can get infected with coronavirus, you got to be infected with fear. I remember when Ms. Babby, I was probably 32 years old, and I got sick. It was the only year I got a flu shot. I got a flu shot and nearly died. True story. Ended up being sick for over 11 months. Okay? But here's what I knew. I would tell my wife almost every day. The doctors were like, Mr. Spencer, we don't know. We don't know what to do next. We're at the end of our rope. We've tried just about everything. We don't know at this point what this is. We don't know. I said, so what y'all telling me? Go home and die? What y'all telling me? Doctor said, no, we're not saying that. We're just saying we don't know what to do. I said, I do. And I just would start saying to my body, this sickness is not unto death, but that God may be glorified. I would tell my body every day, get yourself together. You need to obey the Lord. The word of the Lord says you are healed. Stop acting like this. You know you're healed. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Ghost that lives in you heal you. If healing's going to start, it's going to start in you. You'll never get anybody else healed if you can't get yourself healed. That's how I'm talking to myself every day. Meanwhile, the doctor's over here going, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? My faith grew so much that I started rebuking people for their doubt. My brother came. I was hospitalized. I got so bad they hospitalized me. So I'm in the hospital. They don't know. And my brother walked in the room. And as soon as he saw me, because I'm his big brother, as soon as he saw me, he started crying. I said, get out. He said, huh? I said, get out. I don't need you here. You can't help me. Got rushed to the emergency room. Doctor scurrying around. My sister showed up. My wife told her, she said, I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't have faith, he's going to tell you to leave. He's going to tell you to leave. He doesn't want anybody here that doesn't believe that he's going to live. I was that convinced. And I had total peace about what God was going to do. I didn't care how bad it got. God's got this. I got one more, I think. Fear is from the old nature. Believe it or not, you was operating in fear before you came to Christ. That's part of your old nature. Let me see the hands of everybody who's accepted Jesus as their Savior. You've accepted Jesus as your Savior. You have a new nature. The Bible says if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, new creation. It says, all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So I have a new nature that is not motivated by fear. I'm going to tell you why you were motivated by fear before you came to Christ. Because you were a slave, and all slaves are fearful. I was a slave? Yes'm, you was. You were a slave. I was a slave. We were slaves to sin and death. Do you know? Listen. Do you know that the founders of this country were so full of faith They're trying to say now, because they want to rewrite history, oh, all of them weren't Christians. Some of them were deists. Some of them were. The only one that we know for sure was not a Christian was Ben Franklin. But, well, Thomas Jefferson wasn't a Christian. Okay, well, let's see what history says. Did y'all know that Thomas Jefferson actually paid out of his own pocket to have the Marine Band play for the Congress service? Congress used to have a church service on Sunday. Did y'all know that? The Congress of the United States of America. Thomas Jefferson thought it was so important that he paid for the band to play. These guys, the founders of this country, actually thought it was against everything they believed as Christians to fear death. So if you go read their writings as they come to the end of their life, they're talking about the joy that they have. The reason why it was so easy for them to get to fight a war for freedom is because they were like, hey, if we win, we get freedom here. If we die, we get freedom there. That was their mindset. I've got no business fearing death. Guess what? If death comes, it's a promotion. Paul said, for me to live, talking about live here, he said, for me to live is Christ. In other words, it's suffering. He said, to die is a promotion. Scripture. Romans 8:15 says, for you have not received a spirit of what? Slavery leading to. You have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear. So slavery always leads to what? But you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. I'm no longer a slave to sin. I am a child of God. I'm telling y'all, we sing stuff we don't believe. Because see, if I'm no longer a slave, I no longer operate in fear. You understand me? Kanye West took a lot of heat for making a statement. His statement was that the slaves were slaves because they didn't fight back. He said, they, you know, now I understood what he was trying to communicate. He communicated it very poorly. Okay, because he didn't do his historical search. There were several slave uprisings. Okay, one of them was I can't think of the guy's name right now. Huh? Nat Turner. Nat Turner. He did a slave uprising that was so effective that they almost wiped out slavery in the state of South Carolina. I think it was. The slaves were going from house to house, killing slave masters. Okay. They got so angry about Nat Turner leading this revolt that they boiled him and put the remains in oil and grease that they used to grease the tires of wagons so that he would not have a tomb, so that people would never be able to go and look at his tomb. They were trying to do everything they could to make sure you don't know who he is. Here's what I'm trying to get you to see. In Kanye's thinking, he was saying, if you don't want to be slave, you ought to fight. But in order to fight, guess what you got to do? You got to get over fear. The first step to engage in a fight is you have to get beyond the fear. Because everybody knows. Now, I know none of y'all have never fought. Y'all been saved from birth. But yeah. But there are some of us that we used to live to fight, praise Jesus. And the first thing you have to get over when you start seeing, because see, fights don't just start. The conditions develop slowly. They develop slowly but quickly, if you understand that. This thing starts coming together pretty quick. Somebody says something back. Somebody else says something, and then the person who says something the first time, ain't nobody talking to you. I'm sure how quick this happens. Pastor friend of mine, fully saved, full of the Holy Ghost and power. He was in the gym working out, and he said, I'm working out with this guy. He said, and me and the guy I'm working out with, we're having a discussion. It's a political discussion. We're having a political discussion. He said, and so we're disagreeing on some things, but he said, it's cool. You know, we're friends who work it out. He said, this guy I don't know comes up out of nowhere and just starts yelling at me, you got to be crazy to believe something like that as a black man. You got to be stupid. My friend said, I put the weight bar down and told him, I'm going to knock you out right here in this gym. It went from 0 to 150 just that quick. Because, see, some of us are set on go. You understand what I'm saying? Some folks are set on go. But here's the thing. Before you can even prepare for a fight, you have to deal with the fear. You ever seen people get into a hostile situation and they can't move? You want to know why they can't move? I mean, I'm talking about they can't even run away. They're just standing there. You want to know why? Fear has paralyzed them. Where they can't even do basic stuff for their own safety. You know, like if somebody starts shooting, basic stuff would be turn over a table and get behind the table. Try to make yourself where they can't see you. But if somebody's gripped in fear, they can't even do the basic stuff. What I'm trying to get you to see is that sometimes as the church, we allow ourselves to get gripped by fear, and then we can't even do the basic stuff. Here's some of the basic stuff that you have to do to not operate in fear. Cast down imaginations. Listen to what the Bible says. It says, cast down imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the name of Christ. So how do I know it's exalting itself against the name of Christ? If it does not line up with the will of God, it's exalting itself against the will of Christ. If it's trying to keep me from doing what God wants me to do, it is exalting itself against the name of Christ. And so I have a responsibility now to go, and listen, and I listen to the reports just like y'all do. I really do. I listen. And I get done watching the news, and this is just what I say after I turn it off. That don't apply to me. No, I really do. That don't apply to me. That ain't. I'm glad they telling them what they need to know. That does not apply to me. I couldn't live my life. Y'all, do y'all know if they quarantined me for 30 days, my wife would be ready. There'd be a homicide. My wife would kill me. I'm telling you. Because I'd be stark raving mad. Not because, listen, most of the time I work from home. Most of the time I'm in the house anyway. But the moment you tell me I can't leave, now all of a sudden I'm ready to go somewhere. So, listen, here's what I'm trying to get you to see. Here's what I'm trying to get you to see. I want you to say this with me. We are people of faith. We are people of God. We are not motivated by fear. We are motivated by the word of God. Now look at somebody and say, and wash your hands. My daughter had a revelation. She said, the power of God does not give you an excuse for not washing your hands. Listen, I'm going to tell y'all something. Since she brought up the hand sanitizer, let me tell y'all something. I read this last night, just so y'all know. Listen to me, just so y'all know. All hand sanitizer is not created equally. And in order for a hand sanitizer to be effective, not saying it's going to work completely, but in order for it to be effective against the coronavirus, it has to be 60% alcohol. 60%. 60. So most of that stuff you're getting, Most of the stuff you get from the stores just smell good anyways. But let me tell y'all something. My mother taught me. You'd be surprised what hot water and soap will do to a situation. Hot water and soap will solve a whole lot of problems. Okay? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for your loving kindness. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for your word that comes to sharpen us, your word that comes to grow us, to stretch us. And God, right now we're asking that your word would take root in our hearts and that that word would begin to produce that which you sent it forth to produce, that it would produce fruit. I thank you for the fruit of your word, which is faith. The Bible tells us faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. This morning, God, our faith has grown in the face of all this stuff that's going on in our nation. We will not be people who are afraid of any illness. You told us in your word that none of this stuff would come near us, that it wouldn't even touch us. So God, we stand on your word. In the matchless name of Jesus, we pray.